Let me bang.
I do let you bang.
Hey, let me bang you, Jesus, man.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, for gay Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to our brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson, one of the funniest people alive. My top five.
How are you, brother? How was your weekend?
Dude, it was crazy. I had a show Friday night, right? In Alpine, California, which is like 20 minutes from Mexico. It's like towards San Diego, right?
Right.
And like the back of a restaurant. And the guy's a nice guy, the guy Wes, it pays all right. And it's one of those
things, yeah, Wes Sample, I think his name is.
Yeah, Wes Sample. Nice, great guy. So yeah. I bring my buddy Aldo, and who's another, I could go off for hours on Aldo, but he's like, you know, a character. So it's one of those shows where there's no stage, like literally no stage. You're just standing there in the back, you know, with like 100 people, you know, and people just start walking up to me. Like during the show, like these bros wearing tank tops just walk up to me and they're like, yo, what's up? Good job. And I'm like, there's great security here. Like nobody's even stopping them. And they seem like nice guys, you know, but at the same
time,
it's like, you know, ever since like the Will Smith thing, you don't want these guys just walking right up to you. Right. So like, I actually have it on tape. I'll play the tape. Hold on. Let me see if I could share a screen. Cause I feel like a lot of these times when I like tell you stories, they're never as funny as like when you were there. But let me go share screen. Where's McCorkle, by the way? Here we go. And here, can you see this?
I'm sure he thinks it's tomorrow. Yes, I'm seeing it.
All right, so here. All right, so first this guy comes, right? So I'm like,
how's it going? What's up, man? Thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it, man. Great security here. Okay, so this guy came from January 6th meeting. The fuck was that? I guess a tan top didn't come with muscles.
Yes.
No, not you. You're fucking fat.
Okay, Greg, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was ridiculous, right? But then it gets even worse, right? Just when you think like, okay, all right. So then this other guy starts wandering around. The owner, right?
You know, I hate for our fans or our listeners. I don't even know if they're fans or just listen out of morbid curiosity, but I hate that they've heard me say it so much, but you don't have to take every gig that's offered to you, man. I reel the shit that you take sometimes. All right, please show us the rest of this incredible show. Although I love Wes, I'm sure it's a fun show. But.
So, okay. So then this happens, right? So then watch this. So then this guy's walking around. So got a glass, right?
This is the weirdest fucking show I've ever had in my entire
life. I mean, it looks like a great little room, though.
It's like if the Verizon guy was a surfer. All right, so now
there's a guy who looks like the Verizon guy.
I see Wes. He's right there.
Walking around, and the guy's got glasses. Let me see. I'm not sure I'm like recording this. All right, and the guy's got glasses, and he's like my screen share, and he's kind of a good-looking guy, but just like for some reason, he's just wandering around. All right, now
there
you can see it.
Okay. Yes.
Sure. What's up? You're the manager.
Can I corner this real quick? Okay, guys. So let me be very clear on something real quick. Okay. They have a major DUI checkpoint up here. I don't know if they've announced that or not, but I'm getting texts and calls. So I highly recommend if you've been drinking, go that way. I'm dead too. Okay. So just looking out, go that way.
Much appreciated.
Okay. That's it. And well, fucking enjoy your time.
Thank you. That was the weirdest commercial I ever had in my entire life.
You know, and is that guy a hero or is he an asshole? Because he's like, if you've been drinking, go that way. not don't drink and drive, call an Uber.
Nothing.
It's like, if you've been drinking, go that way.
Yeah, right.
You got a major DUI checkpoint that way. And I'm like, why do you have to interrupt the set to do that? Why didn't he just wait till your set was over?
Oh, and then it gets more ridiculous. Okay, hold on.
All right, keep going, please.
You're just fucking shit. Guys, just, there's a undercover cop right there. So you have cocaine, throw it over there.
God, I miss
cocaine. There's a girl giving out blowjobs. She has herpes. So wear a fucking condom if you're fucking. I'm just going to do more fucking strange PSAs. If anyone wants to embezzle money, talk to that guy over there. There's a dog fighting ring down the block. Make sure you fucking don't bring your puppy over there. Okay, bring your puppy over there to PetSmart and get him a toy. What kind of fucking weird ass fucking bar are we at? And who's texting that guy saying there's a fucking DUI checkpoint? Are people going by there? Go, I gotta text the owner.
So I mean, it led for a great comedy bit.
Totally. It sounds like, I mean, you know, it was best part of your show happening right here.
But then it's like, I don't know, but I said, okay, so then just when I think, okay, this can't get worse, right? This can't more. I mean, it was fun, but can't get weirder. Those fucking three guys come back, right? So watch this.
So there's no stage room.
No stage.
There's no dress code here. What's up, buddy? How are you? Go get him. All right. And where's this? A runway of fucking.
This guy takes his shirt off. Watch.
That's great, dude.
I'm watching.
You. Wow, you're ripped, man. That's how I do it. And still doesn't get pussy. Holy shit, dude. What the fuck? That guy's going. He got naked to get into a car with his two buddies. Just so you know. Hey dudes, want to see some abs? These guys are like, fuck yeah, ookie cookie tonight. Hey guys, make sure you drive that one.
Nice. Look at the audience go, wow. The audience goes, wow.
So yeah, that was my show on Friday night. It was just like, oh man. Hold on, let's see what we got. Here we go. I know I don't have to take every show. You're right. But like at the same time, I don't understand why that guy would interrupt the middle of the show to make a DUI and the other guy just takes his shirt off. It's like
bar shows, man. That's just the way it goes. You know, I did a weird show out in the desert.
Oh yeah. How did that go?
You know, it was one of those things where like, okay, you look at it and you're like, what have I done? What am I doing? Just to share, they didn't have, like, they have a room for you to stay in that's in this building. But the shower, there's an outdoor shower.
Oh, my God.
With, like tarps set up for walls and stuff. Like, essentially, like, something you would, like out of Forrest Gump when they're in the jungle.
Oh, wow.
Like that. That's what they had for showering. All you think was, thank God I showered before I left. Oh, my God. I would hate to. Because usually I'd get there and I'd take a shower, kind of refresh myself, get the road off me. I was like, not today.
No.
You know. And then the restroom you had to use, the restroom they had available to you was also the restroom available to the audience during the show. So imagine that you're the restroom that you're supposed to use as your overnight restroom is just the one that 30 other people are using during the show, 50 other people during the show. So that was slightly disconcerting. But then the show, again, it's this tent in the, you know, on this, you know, area of dirt, but they have it really well set up, good lighting, good sound, and everybody was there to see comedy. And of course, you know, I'm so weird. I'm such a low stakes player. When the stakes are the lowest, that's when I'm at my best. Because I had the best show of my life. I think I improvised for like an hour and a half. It was fucking phenomenal. We had an incredible time. But I mean, it was, You know, this is one of those, I don't have to say.
Did you record it at least?
I did. I forgot to start the camera when they brought me up, and then I'm on stage about 10 minutes into it. I'm like, oh my God, start the camera. Now, it's not a sophisticated camera. All you got to do is open the thing and press the record button. But I don't know if anybody figured that out, and I haven't gone back to look because I'm afraid that they didn't. Yes. So I don't know if we caught this because there was so much wild stuff that happened during it. It was a completely improvised show. So
Sean, you missed it. I don't know if I want to play the whole thing again, but I was doing comedy outside in a bar on Friday night, and the owner of the bar takes the microphone from me halfway through and goes, I have an announcement. There's a DUI checkpoint right over there. So if you're going to get drunk, make sure you go this way.
Which
I followed by like 10 other horrible PSAs. Like, if anyone wants to buy cocaine, do it from that guy and not that guy. You know, if you're going to get for money.
If only it were that easy.
Dude. And then these three like bro guys walk past me. And there was no stage. You could just walk right up to me. And they're like, take care, take care. And I was like, oh, give it up for the guys, you know. And the guy takes off his shirt and starts flexing. And I'm like, you just got naked to get into a car with your two buddies. And I told him to go that way. So the place went ballistic. But yeah, we're talking about those kind of shows we've been having. So where were you? Why are you late? I wanted to show it to you.
I'm feeling great today, man. It's a long story. So yeah, I've been really nauseous all day. So I don't know. It's something else.
Oh, so you were being sarcastic when you said that. Because I was going to be like, good, finally, some good health news from the Because honestly, you don't sound like that was the case. And so I was like, oh, maybe it's just well rested. Maybe that's what it is. But
I'll probably be taking a couple of throw up breaks here during the podcast.
And now, is this the same sickness that you've been dealing with for like the last week or so?
Yeah, they got me on different medicine, man. It really affects me. Like, the side effects stink, man. So it's like, I don't know. It's my body doesn't adjust to stuff real well. So it is what it is, though. It's either that or feel shitty the other way. So it doesn't really matter which one you do. So,
by the way, we watched Buzz Lightyear last night. Father's Day, I took the kid to see Buzz Lightyear. And my wife said that you remind her of Buzz Lightyear. But because
that I do?
Yeah, because you're just so stubborn. And then the guy just kept going and going. He's like, I'm going to, he basically gets, I don't know, you know, everyone to lose the plot, but he gets stuck on like a world and he has to keep trying to break the sound barrier over and over until he can finally do it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And he says,
I've never seen any of those movies, so I don't know. I just know that Tim Allen and I's previous careers were similar, I heard.
wasn't he a bank robber or something?
No, he was a coke dealer.
Okay. Yeah, he's still coke. Yeah.
Oh, got it.
Yeah, he went to jail for like 3 years for it, and then that's when he came out and, of course, decided, you know, now I'll do comedy. So
he was on Norm MacDonald's podcast, and Norm wouldn't quit bringing it up over and over again, like dealing cocaine, like how it works and how much you make and stuff. It was great.
And did he, like, want to talk about it? No, right?
No, he kept saying, thanks for bringing that up. I thought I'd finally moved past it after 30 years. He just kept bringing, like, making every analogy to dealing coke. It was great.
Well, Sean, I wanted to give you hold on. So, Sean, this is what I had to deal with real quick because I purposely wanted to get your reaction to this. Watch. So, can you see it?
Yeah.
All right, watch.
Has anybody seen Wes? Can we just? I see Wes. He's right there. Where? I don't know. Where did Wes go? What is this, karaoke comedy? What the fuck's going on? Sure. What's up? You're the manager.
Carlos, real quick. Okay, guys. So let me be very clear on something real quick. Okay. They have a major DUI checkpoint up here. I don't know if they've announced that or not, but they make texts and calls. So I highly recommend if you've been drinking, go that way. I'm dead serious.
Okay. He's like, no, I'm serious. No, this isn't. I don't mean it. Go that way.
Yeah, that's it. And well, fucking enjoy your time.
Thank you. That was the weirdest commercial I've ever had in my entire life.
Isn't it funny how the best stuff is the real stuff? Like, the real stuff was always the funniest because he was dead serious.
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe fucking sleep in your car. Fuck it, I don't know. This is the weirdest fucking shit. Guys, there's a undercover cop right there. So you have cocaine, throw it over there. There's a girl giving out blowjobs. She has herpes. So wear a fucking condom if you fuck her. I'm just gonna do more fucking strange PSAs. If anyone wants to embezzle money, talk to that guy over there.
Yeah.
So I just kept going on for like 30 minutes on this, Sean.
Yeah. That's awesome. He was dead serious, though.
He was. He was completely fucking serious. So if you're going to drink and drive, drive that direction.
Do you guys watch the fights? Please tell me you watched the fights.
Yes.
Sean,
no, I saw the main card.
Sean, you didn't watch one fight?
I didn't know it was on, man. Like when they actually somebody asked me for a gambling pick on it, and that's the only reason I even knew it was on. Like they're doing a Bellator type job of marketing these cards, man.
Well, you know what it is? It's every fucking week now. So they don't even have to announce it. You just know that Saturday there's a UFC card. I mean, it's become an every week thing. And as much as I've complained about that watering down the product, lately they've been hitting, great.
Yeah. This one was good, Sean. Like, they had
this one was great.
All right, let's talk about it a little bit. First of all, it was like watch your favorite old-time fighters get the shit beaten out of them. That was like the theme because there were three guys that just got fucking murked by like young, hungry guys. Man, first of all, Court McGee being one of them, Court McGee just got flatlined. He went in there and just got – it was rough. That was hard to watch. The Court McGee one, Cody Stamann destroyed Eddie Wineland, who finally retired. I thought he won.
Boy, when you beat somebody out of their career, that is quite a beating.
Dude, it was first of all, the main event was Calvin Kattar versus Josh Emmett. A lot of people were complaining and thought Calvin Kattar won. I was watching it while watching my kid and playing Barbie, so I'm not the best thing, but from what I heard and from what I got, Emmett won. It seemed like Emmett was landing the harder shots. And maybe Kattar was landing the more volume, but I didn't think it was that much of a robbery.
I thought the most surprising thing was that Emmett thought he was up 4-1.
Yeah, that was.
It's like, come on. You're not up 4-1, number one. Look at your face. Yeah. And number two, it does demonstrate once again that they definitely put more weight on power shots over volume. Because if you win on, scored it like a boxing round where you were giving him points on connecting those jabs, Cater won easily three of those rounds and should have won it. And that's how it wound up a split decision, I think, he was getting the points for those jabs. These were not like leg jabs. I mean, he was connecting.
But Emmett landed the harder shots. I feel like
you're 100% right. Emmett, when he would unload, I mean, it was fury. It was with anger. You could tell that the other two judges clearly weighted those over the volume of Cater. And that's what it came down to.
I got to say, though, you know what? I kind of agree with them because I don't know about you, Sean. I just think the guy who does the more damage should win the round. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm just glad that the one pick I said it was a sure thing on the card was that Cater would beat Emmett. And that was the betting pick I gave the other guy. And I told the guy Kevin Holland should win, but would probably lose because he loses every third fight or whatever, you know, or every fourth fight he should win. So, yeah, I was both wrong on both of them. So,
well, the Kevin Holland fight, that other one, like I don't know if the matchmaker was just trying to, like, you know, all right, let's pick guys that are on their way out versus like up and coming studs. And even though Kevin Holland's had like 13 fights, I feel like he's still up and coming for some reason. Because
you feel like he's still growing as a fighter.
Yeah, and it was just evident right away that Tim Means was not going to win that fight. I wanted Tim Means to win that fight, but he got hurt, and then he went in for wrestling, which he said he was going to do, and then he got darsed. And Kevin Holland, first of all, before the fight, the night before, he stopped someone from robbing makeup. Like, where is he going? He must have a friend who's a cop, because they're saying he's Batman at night. But okay, the shooting, right? Someone was going to shoot like 40 people, and he stopped that person. Then somebody was trapped under their truck, and he lifted up the truck or got a bunch of people to escape. And now
it's been a tiny truck.
And now people are stealing makeup. Like, either he knows, like, either the guy's an undercover cop, or he knows someone who's a cop. Or he's got one of those police things, but like everywhere he goes, there's a crime being committed.
Yes, but I think we got to give him credit for indiscriminately stopping crime. He doesn't save it for the big ones. Oh no, he'll stop that makeup robbery. They're incrementally, like maybe the one, the saving, the stopping the shooter was like, okay, that was risking a lot. I'm gonna, let me see. Okay, I can lift the car. Let me try it. Yeah, that almost threw my back out. You know what? Let me just stop a makeup robbery next time. Like,
you got to think, man, that somebody like that, he eventually is going to become a suspect. Like, you remember Angela Lansbury on Murder, She Wrote? Like, every town she went to, someone got killed. And I was like, she writes about murder, but they never suspected her. Like, you know, like, it's like this lady just keeps showing up and people show up dead, but nobody ever suspects her. It's like Vince Chan.
If he was, like, calling his friends up and he's like, yo, let's rob something. And then he just, like turns on him halfway through. And he's like, I solved the robbery. Like, he's setting people up to fucking... like, hey, take this and run. And then he tackles him. But there's something weird going on. Joaquin Buckley bought this guy.
Meth is a hell of a drug.
Joaquin Buckley is like, so he wants to fight Holland. And I can't wait for that fight because this guy Buckley, he's the guy that did that crazy kick. And he fought this other guy that like people were saying was the next big thing. And Joaquin Buckley is a monster. I mean, the guy, Sean just left. I think he went to go throw up. But, that guy's going to be hard to beat. I mean, I think wrestling, as long as he stays away from wrestlers, both him and Holland, it seems like that's the one thing that wrestling is a thing that kind of could maybe, but they looked amazing. What did you think about Buckley?
Dude, first of all, the guy, so much, and they're going to, he's one of those guys that's so massive, muscularly massive, that you're like, this has got to affect his cardio, but it did, through two rounds, he seemed totally fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So that didn't seem to be the case. And they were talking about the backstory with these two dudes. Apparently, they used to train with each other. And this guy, Duraev, said that he wanted this because he knew he could go right through him and move on to the next guy. And I was like, oh, I think Buckley heard that. Because, he was hitting him with anger. He was hitting him with revenge, like, I'll show you to say that. And, I mean, I could feel it when he smacked him. I was like,
I feel like a lot of guys don't go that hard in training. I know, like, Kelvin Gastelum was, like, notorious for, like, you know, you're just a lot of guys just trying to learn the techniques or they're just, you know, they're just not going 100%. They don't feel well. They got this shit in their mind when I get through it. So I think it's giving their training partners a false sense of security.
Yeah, of what they can do. Yeah. Because he came out and he showed him what's up. And Buckley's one of those guys, because he can be exciting, that you worry that it's going to, you know, he's flashing the pan. It's, you know, one hit wonder type stuff. But he seems to be getting better and better. He's like Holland. They seem to be growing, learning. More all-around game and are getting more dangerous with every fight. That's what it seems like. I'm interested to see how long this holds up. Like you said, we got to see him go against a real grappler and see if he can pull it off.
Okay. Cool. So here we go.
So McCorkle's sick or what?
I don't know what happened to McCorkle.
Oh, I thought that's what you were looking at. It was like a text from him or something.
No, a text from UFC about the special. All right, what were we talking about? It was all good.
About the one you just shot or about shooting another one?
About the one I just did, about just the
color. Oh, right on.
Color correction or something. But who else? Because then my phone just, I don't know, does your phone do this? Like, literally, my notes will just go away, and then I have to restart my whole phone?
Yeah.
Does your phone do that?
No.
My notes just disappear, all of them. And then I restart my phone, and then it comes back.
Oh,
but that's the worst when I'm on stage looking at my notes at like a clean show. And all of a sudden I'm like, my jokes are gone and I have to restart my phone. So I'm like kind of stalling during that.
Wow. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
By the way,
which one do you have? Which phone do you have?
I have the newest one. By the way, Mayhem Miller update. I spoke to Mayhem.
Oh, great.
I was with Camilla at the HaHa and he called her. He was really excited to talk to me and, he was like, he got teary-eyed. So Camilla said, he sounds great. Whenever he's in jail, I hate to say it, he sounds amazing. I don't know if it's a combination of him not being on stuff when he's on jail and whatever they have him on is the right stuff. But of course, I was telling him an update about all the fights and yada, yada. And they're transferring him to another jail to like a hardcore one upstate. He's looking at a couple of years. I know they're trying to get him a job as a fireman in the jail.
Okay.
I guess you could be a fireman in jail and then you get like twice as many time served. Like a counselor.
Sounds great. Do it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he'd be a great fireman.
Fuck yeah.
As long as he's not starting fires. And then
I was going to say, I mean, he's starting them. You might as well put them out, you know?
But I asked him about that. He says, but he was being funny. He seemed like he was in good spirits. He was laughing. He was laughing.
Do you think being nicknamed Mayhem contributed to his lifestyle, or do you think it doesn't matter? He would have been Mayhem anyway.
How many days do you got for me to talk about this? You could do a college thesis on this.
Yeah.
Man. He was laughing really hard when I told him that BJ Penn was running for governor of Hawaii, and he said he wants to run when he gets out. So he's like, fuck it, I'll run too. Ah. I told Chuck that remember when Tito ran and won?
Yeah.
And then he like got kicked
off. And
then
he quit like after 2 weeks or something.
I think he was like collecting unemployment while he was still the governor or something. But
yeah.
And then he was collecting like government assistance, but he also wouldn't wear a mask at meetings and stuff, and that it was like mid-pandemic and yada yada. But I told Chuck Liddell when I saw him, like, Chuck, you should run against Tito, and his eyes lit up, and he's like, you know, I think I would beat him. I mean, how funny would that be if him and Tito were running against each other for like him,
against Cejudo?
No, Chuck Liddell against Tito.
Oh, against Tito?
Yeah, Matt. I told him. That would have been
God. Well, I mean, it would be awesome. It could be sponsored by Bellator because they're so old. This is the matchup they've been looking.
I mean, it's like a real live Cobra Kai kind of thing where they just keep fighting. They go, like at every age, Daniel and
John. Yeah. They just keep fighting each other over and over and over again. Exactly.
But anyway, so I know BJ Penn I know he got endorsed by Tito. He also got endorsed by what's her name? The girl from Hawaii who like almost was the president, but by.
Oh, Gabby something.
Yeah. She endorsed Tito. I mean, BJ Penn. So.
Well, he is. I mean, he's a huge, but I mean, oh my God, he's going to go around fighting everybody in their state house of representatives. I mean, cause that's the other thing. Hasn't he been like arrested 3 times for bar fights?
He's had a rough go. I think this is good for him because it's keeping him away from like alcohol and drugs.
Okay, you know what? Okay, government shouldn't be, you know, the career you choose to stay out of trouble. Okay. Be a lifeguard.
No, I don't want lifeguards on drugs, and I think that's
all. I don't want them running government, deciding where the tax dollars go and everything. No. You need something to keep you sober. Dude, be a crossing guard. Trouble,
and then he ran for governor, and he's been clean and sober. I'm pretty sure. So I think that's good. I mean, just have him keep running for shit. I care about the guy.
Yeah, he's gonna go crazy if he doesn't win. Then he's gonna be like, "Fuck it, man." You know, it's gonna be fucking bananas time. Oh boy, I don't know about all this. This is American politics now.
BJ Penn.
That's it. I'm running for president.
Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard was endorsed.
Tulsi Gabbard. That's her name. Tulsi.
Yeah, but I think. I'm not sure. I think he's like into some weird conspiracies. I have to check out BJ Penn's.
Everybody is. Nobody trusts any news anymore. It's funny the way it has become easier to just believe the craziest conspiracy over anything that you. And they're probably both wrong. They're both lies.
Yeah.
They're just of different varieties. And I don't blame anybody for that. I get it. We've all learned that the news is so slanted. I don't care which version of it you're watching. So nobody trusts nothing anymore. They'd rather just believe this wild conspiracy shit, which may ultimately prove to be more true than false anyway. So
I don't know. If you've been following the whole Joe Biden's daughter's diaries it's scary. World. So I guess Joe Biden, his daughter had a diary and was like allegedly saying like that he was showering with her until she was like older, and then she became a sex addict and a drug addict and all this other shit. And the girl left the diary at like the rehab she was at in like 2020. So Biden had like the CIA basically and the FBI come in and take the diary from wherever it was, from whoever had, somebody took it and sold it. And they like, so now, I don't know, if that's true, if he was showering with his daughter when she was, It's bad. This is all from, I was, this is on Tucker on Friday night.
Oh, well, then it's definitely true. But you know what? I hate to say it, but Biden's, if there were an emoji for his entire presidency, it'd be that one where you're smacking yourself.
Oh, you're just like,
like this guy. I mean, you know, I hate to say it, Elon Musk got it right when he said, you know, people didn't elect him to change things. They just elected him for less drama. And that's, I mean.
I honestly like Mark Cuban. If Mark Cuban runs, do you see what Mark Cuban did? He put these drugs on his website, right? That they were charging $10,000 for these drugs for $40. Like, people are just on Twitter saying this guy saved my life, like making drugs affordable. Like fucking, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty amazing. It's how it was. It the insulin drug, or is it what? Is, I mean,
something. It was some kind of crazy drug that people are charging $10,000 for. That he was charging $40. I mean,
isn't that what Pharma Bro did? There was an AIDS drug that they were selling for a certain amount. And he realized it's the only one of its kind, so he bought the patent
and
jacked it 10,000 times.
Exactly. Right, but Mark Cuban did the opposite.
Right,
so that's pretty damn cool, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Anyway, Phil Hawes versus man, that was crazy. Did you watch that fight when he got into?
I didn't. That one was in the prelims. I didn't watch the prelims.
All right, so what happened was Phil Hawes fought Darren Wynn. Phil Hawes is a stud, and he kicked the crap out of Darren Wynn, who's looks like a mini Cormier. He actually coaches at Daniel Cormier. They're good friends. They look alike. They're both wrestlers, both studs, yada yada. At the end, the guy got into Cormier's face. He goes, "You bet on the wrong guy," when he was trying to interview him, and they almost had to kind of get broken up, like Cormier and Phil Hawes. Yeah, it got like, and then. Then the guy finally kind of calmed down, you know, but it was like, cause Cormier was like, "I'm not Darren Wynn." Like, basically like, I'll you don't want a piece of this.
I'll take you down. Right. Exactly. I'll hurt you. Yeah.
But yeah, it got ugly. I mean, it got ugly. At the same time, it was entertaining as hell. Yeah. Let me see
if I can video of it. Can you show it? Yeah. I'd love to see that. Cause I'll also say this, when I watch these fights, I tend to not watch the interviews. Well, he put his finger in his face too. Oh, wow, this is intense. Although this is what happens when you have other fighters interviewing fighters, there's got to be some bad beef in there somewhere. So, I mean, some bad blood in there occasionally. I'm just surprised they didn't see this coming.
What happened? Your party girls? You're going to start going to Starbucks? Okay, have a good time. Love you. Bye. Wait, what? Okay. My daughter says they're party girls and they're going to go to Starbucks. So,
well, that's where it starts.
So, Phil Hawes, that was crazy. And then I felt bad for Julian Marquez because he's a monster. He's a beast. But he ran into that dude, Greg Rodriguez, just put it on him. But it was almost, he kept coming back, Marquez. That fight could have
been. But I mean, he kept coming back from the grave. Fucking Rodriguez was knocking him out. And then somehow, miraculously, that zombie training of just keep fighting would kick in. That he was out on his feet at least three times in that fight. I mean, Rodriguez murked this dude.
I can't believe it. I text him like, dude, you are the toughest human being. I mean, he just kept coming back.
I'm pretty sure that beard has got some kind of like cushiony filler in it. That was the only thing keeping him from going out completely because he took some shots.
It was almost like laughable.
Like he was out and then somehow would miraculously stay awake. Like three times. It was crazy. That Rodriguez guy. He's something else, but let me tell you something. I every now and again, you see someone that you're like, that's the future. I remember feeling that way about Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Remember? I was on that. I was with Curtis Blaydes. Every now and again, you see somebody, you're like, this guy's special, and Adrian Yanez is fucking special. Bantamweight division needs to watch out for this kid because he's got it all, man. And he's one of those guys that doesn't look like it. He doesn't look like his legs are very strong. He doesn't look like his upper body is that defined. But this kid can fucking fight, man. I mean, I was like, whoa, you better watch. Poor Tony Kelly, man. He ran into a buzzsaw.
Yeah, and the thing about Tony was he missed weight by 2.5 pounds. And people were already mad at him before that because he's the one whose boyfriends are Andrea Lee. That said,
right.
He said the Brazilians are all dirty cheaters or something. And then like that, people were really pissing him off that. So he was already like the bad guy and he fought a guy in Texas. And then, you know, Tony Kelly's been on my show. He's a good dude. Like I think he said the wrong thing when he was in the heat moment. He could have phrased it better, yada, 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 you know, but man, and he should have made weight as well. I think people are mad at Andrea Lee because her ex-boyfriend was fucking the worst ever. But, man, that was rough. That was rough for Tony. But you're right. I mean, this dude, Yanez, is going to be a problem.
He is.
I haven't seen him fight a wrestler yet. Because it seems like everybody that fights him just wants to go toe-to-toe. And that's the way you're not going to beat this guy.
It's a big mistake going toe-to-toe with this kid. What hands, speed, power, surprising power. I think that's what surprises everybody. You just don't think he's going to hit you that hard. But he shook Tony Kelly right out the gate.
No, you're 100%.
I mean, and it was wonderful. I'm excited. I'm excited to see where this kid goes.
So, and then Roman Dolez, who was supposed to, he lost to Kyle Daukaus, who's a huge underdog as well.
Daukaus was like towards the top of the cards. What, like a couple months ago, it seems like. And he's just had this fall.
You think that's his brother.
Okay. Because I also was like, and I thought he was a heavyweight.
He was. Light
heavyweight. Yeah, okay. So there is a different doc out. That's what I thought. I'm like, what the fuck happened with this guy? Okay, so that's his brother.
His brother is the one who was the cop, who I think he lost to the Black Beast.
Yeah.
But he won a bunch of them in a row. Yeah, that was But this kid's good, too. But he overlooked this dude, Roman Dolez, whatever his name is. That dude's a monster. The card was great. Super excited. This week also, by the way, coming up, you know, PFL. I don't know how the PFL is making any money. I enjoy watching the PFL, but not only did that tell you, like, when it is, they don't even tell you, like, the date. Sometimes it's Thursdays. It used to be Wednesdays. Now it's Fridays.
I clicked on the list on my DVR and there were PFL fights. And I'm like, oh, I didn't even know there were going to be any on. I didn't think they were broadcast.
And it's on ESPN.
So I guess they were on ESPN. Yeah.
But why would an ESPN during a UFC telecast play a PFL thing? Like,
yeah.
I know it's a different, but it's the same network. You know, I don't know if the UFC has some kind of thing where you can only play, you can't. But I remember back in the day, they used to play Bellator commercials during UFC stuff.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they probably ended that business. I mean, UFC's got a pretty tight grip on their product. So I'm pretty sure there was something in the fine print that was like, oh, and by the way, you can't mention any other fight leagues during our shit.
But they're never going neck and neck, though. That's the thing. They're never going like head to head. So I don't understand. It really makes no sense. But anyway, so PFL this Friday night, as well as Bellator this Friday night. It's also my anniversary, 5-year wedding anniversary. So,
congrats!
I'm not gonna be watching any of those. Like my wife.
You'll be somewhere thinking about them, and your wife going, "What are you thinking about right now? You're not watching the fights," and you're gonna be like, "Well, I'm here. I'm here with you. I'm here. We have the violin playing. It's beautiful."
Dude, that happened. Like we had date night last week, and it was. She's like, I got a date night for Thursday night at Joey's restaurant. Great. But it was like right game 6 of the NBA.
Oh! Kick to the nuts on that one. That was a great game, too.
I was listening to it like on the way to the restaurant in the which of course, my, you know, I'm on the radio and but luckily it ended right. But then the restaurant she picked had the game. So we actually left the restaurant. Left the restaurant because people are going fucking bananas. And it was she
wanted the game.
And she wanted this nice, you know.
Yeah.
Couldn't even talk. You know, like we're trying to talk and people are running around yelling Golden State, yada, yada. So we left, went to a different restaurant that didn't have the game.
That's hysterical. You're like, no, I like this restaurant. It's fine. That's fine. I don't even notice it. I don't even know what's happening.
So this Friday night in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Anthony Pettis versus Stevie Ray. It should be a good fight. Pettis, you know, won his first PFL thing. He needs to make one to get into the playoffs. Bruno Capoloza, who's fighting Matthew Scheffel. Chris Wade from Long Island, good dude, hot chick, fighting Kyle Boshnak, also a tough guy. That should be good. What?
Good dude, hot chick.
Bubba Jenkins is on this card.
Finally, let's see some Bubba J. So it's Friday night. I can make a point to, I don't know, record it or look for it on ESPN Plus. I don't know. I've got it all. So
Bubba won his first fight.
Now I saw that. He's
fighting a guy named Saba Balaghi. Saba Balaghi.
Where? I mean, I'm on their site. It's like they have all these videos, but I'm like, where can I just see the list of the fights? It's like, I don't.
I'm on MMA Junkie to look up upcoming fights. Lance
Paul. Oh, okay. I stupidly go to their site, to the PFL MMA.
Yeah, well, why would they have that? Boston Salmon is fighting Brandon Lonani, who's actually a really good fighter from England. Boston Salmon is the guy that told you that, like, when he was working as like a car valet, and then he like let me in free, and he goes, "It's an honor, MMA roasted." I go, "Oh, nice to meet you." He goes, "One day you're gonna roast me." And then he made the UFC. The guy is Boston. My name is Boston Salmon. I'm like, I'm never going to forget that.
Nice.
Yeah, he's had a tough time so far in the UFC. He got cut by the UFC, but now he's in the PFL. And hopefully.
Oh, okay. Is he on this? Is he on this card?
He's on the card. I don't know if he's in the tournament, though. He might be an alternate. I'm not really sure. And then Bellator. Musasi versus Johnny Eblen, who's 11-0. This dude's good. But Musasi is a fucking monster. And what he did to, you see what he did to what's name's boyfriend when he fought Austin Vanderford?
Mm-mm.
It was ugly, bro. I was Paige Van Zandt's boyfriend. I was rooting for him, and it was not even close. He just ran.
He's one of those guys. Okay. Do you think the PVZ relationship made him a better, worse fighter or no effect at all?
I mean, he was a tough college wrestler. He was like 8-0 when they started dating, and he's a strong dude from Oregon. I don't think he would have got the title fight being 11-0 in Bellator, but it's a very thin division. And it's also, you got a guy like Musasi who, you know, is like one of the, like, he in the UFC, he was killing everybody or most people. I think he just didn't like his contract. Like, he never really got like wrecked. Musasi is a monster. So it's just a matter of like a Johnny Eblen, the guy Musasi's fighting him versus.
Yeah. Eblen.
That would have been a good fight, I think. But it's like, you're fighting this guy who's one of the best in the world at his weight class. So he just shouldn't be in Bellator right now, but he just didn't like his contracts in the UFC and yada, yada. And so,
I mean, you can't blame a guy for chasing the money. If they're going to offer you more money somewhere else, I mean, the prestige of the UFC is fantastic, but especially when you look at PFL and there's $1 million on the line, I mean, that's life-changing money. I mean, even though you can't live on it the rest of your life, it can at least change your life right now, you know?
Especially for a guy like Musasi, though, who's like very quiet, you know, like he's not like the fighter, like the real fans love him. Okay. So like, yeah, he lost to Uriah Hall in 2015, but then he beat Talis Latis. He beat Thiago Santos. He knocked out Vitor Belfort. He knocked out Uriah Hall. He beat Chris Weidman. He beat Shevchenko. He beat Cavajo. He beat Rory McDonald. I mean, the guys he's beat.
Jesus, man. That is a murderer's row. I mean, that feels like you should have title shots, you know? Like,
that's what I'm saying. It's like he somehow got lost in the mix.
And this is Musasi?
Yeah, this is Musasi.
Well, I mean, he is the champion at Bellator. So, I mean, you know,
people aren't talking about him. You know, I mean,
not at all.
Whereas this other guy, Johnny Eblen, who I know is a tough guy, but he beat John Salter. He beat Colin Hockbody, Travis Davis. I mean, this is not Rory McDonald.
Nobody's.
You know, it's just not.
No, yeah, that's an impressive list of names to put down, man. That really is. You got to give this guy credit. So hopefully he's getting paid, you know?
Yeah. Also on this card is Danny Sabatello, who won his fight and was talking all kinds of shit. His funny kid against Higo. That should be a good fight. Like Magomedov versus Enrique Barzola. That's a good fight. Katsanganu versus Pam Sorensen's on the undercard. That's what I'm saying. It's like you have a girl like Kat Zingano that everyone knows in MMA. Everyone knows Kat Zingano. She's 12-4, and she's lost to Megan Anderson by her eye. She hasn't lost in 4 years. Okay, she's won two in a row. So she hasn't. He's winning speed. Whatever. You got her, and you're putting her on the undercard. You got a guy Cody Law who's 6-0, All American. They were saying he's the next big thing. He's like the third round up. It makes no sense the way they're doing the shit. Like they just. Let me do the fucking order, okay? Magomedov. Brendan Ward versus Cassius Kane. That's a good fight, but just, you know, I don't know. So then,
Anthony Pettis thing though is he's one of those guys you see him over there and you're like, no, what are you PFL, doing though. Over here?
No, he's in the PFL.
Oh right, right. That's what I meant, in PFL. You see him over there, and you're like, what? Weren't you just? How did you? When did this?
Yeah, because he was losing a lot, though. He was getting fucked up. I think he was like, he's smart. He's like, listen, I could make $1 million and fight easier guys.
Or yeah, that must be it. Because if he doesn't win the $1 million, that'll be shocking. That would actually be shocking.
He didn't last year. Last year he went 0-2 in the PFL.
He must not have been taking it seriously or something. Because he should march right through that shit. He should be a hot knife through butter on that.
That's what happened last year. He was basically like, yeah, I'm going to kill these guys. But then this year, I think it's different. He's like, you know, the wake up call. So in the UFC, UFC, it's Matheus Gamrot, who's 20-1 against Arman Tsarukyan.
Good work on that, boy. Both of those, because I was looking at him like, I don't know them. I wouldn't know how to pronounce them.
This is one of those fights that most people are going to not know who the fuck these guys are, but fight fans, I mean, are going to be like, holy shit. I mean, this one guy, Gamrot, he TKO'd Diego Ferreira. He fucked up Jeremy Stevens in 1 minute. He knocked out Scott Holtzman, who's a fucking tough out. He knocked out Norman Park. This is all in the last 2 years. That's impressive as hell.
These guys are on the come up. It's time to learn their names.
Arman Tsarukyan knocked out his last two guys, Joel Alvarez. He knocked out Christos Giagos, a good fighter. His last loss came to Islam Makhachev, which was in 3 years ago.
A lot of guys' last loss came to Israel Makhachev.
Yeah. So that's a good fight. You know, I mean,
or Islam. Did I say Israel? He probably wouldn't like that.
I'm
pretty, or maybe he would. Maybe he'd love it.
I'm pretty curious as to what the numbers are going to be. You know, it's in Vegas at the Apex, and I guess also, you know, at the Apex, they don't have to worry about the gate at all. You know,
that's what I'm saying. That's what, well, the Apex is what really, that's what really has made it possible for them to just do them every single week.
Yeah. Right.
And one would say there's clearly enough fighters, but at the same time, I mean, you are seeing a lot of names you don't know, you know, but it does make for some exciting ass fights. By the same token, if you can't get in the UFC, it's never been a wider gate than it's ever been now. So if you can't get in now, what are you doing? Are you ready to be a professional fighter? Because
so Neil Magny's on this card. Neil Magny's gonna fight anybody. He's a guy he was in the army. He's a fucking great guy, married guy, he's a father, he's a new kid.
He's gonna have to change his name legally to Journeyman.
No, come on. He's literally fighting a guy that nobody wants to fight. This guy is 15-0. He's from Kazakhstan. He's knocking out everybody or submitting them. This dude is a fucking monster. Shavkat Rakhmonov. I remember we watched him fight a couple weeks ago and people were
like,
oh my God. I hope Neil Magny wins. I like Neil Magny, but man, the balls on this dude. Holy shit. He's just like, he's one of those guys that like goes for the hottest girl in the room. He's like, fuck it. If I win, I get to fuck the hottest girl.
Listen, it's not a bad strategy. I know I tried it. I did, and it works. And it works more often than you think.
And then
15-0, this dude. Yeah, he's dangerous. You know, Magny's coming off a win, which you never know what he's coming off of.
Yeah, very. He's a very interesting fighter.
Yeah, that's what I mean by journeyman, because he seems to fight all the time and at various levels. I mean, here he is, the second card on a UFC fight night that's in the afternoon. You know, 6 months from now, he might be the main event on a pay per view.
No, this is 7 o'clock. It starts at 7.
Started 10 Eastern. Maybe the undercard starts at 3.
Yeah. And then also we got also on the card, Nate Maness. Chris Curtis is a fucking great guy. TJ Brown's a dude that I knew from Arkansas. I came to my show with like his whole team. Cody Durden, he's the guy that's remember after he beat a Chinese guy and he goes, I'll send him back to China. And everyone got really fucking mad at him. and then he got knocked out by a guy from, I don't know, some fucking monster from over there, Dagestan or something. And he got knocked out like early by like a flying knee and that took him out. So he's fighting this guy, JP Buys, who's a nice guy that was married to Cheyenne, this hot fighter. And then they got divorced because I think she left him for a training part. I don't know what, it was fucking ugly. It got really ugly. So these two guys are fighting each other. Brian Kelleher, who's a pretty good battle rapper. I'm not kidding. I've heard him rap. He's fighting Mario.
Well, listen, if you want a safe fallback career, battle rapper's the choice. He's like, where can I take the biggest risks? Fighting and rapping. Perfect. I'll do both.
Yeah. I mean, and then Jinyu Free, who's like, she builds rockets or something. She's one of these, like the most smartest chick, half Korean, gorgeous, nerdy. She's fighting Vanessa Demopoulos, who used to be a stripper, but she was like a pretty successful stripper. She wrote a book called The Stripper Bible. And
oh, okay. That was her, huh?
Yeah, she's the one that hopped in Joe Rogan's arms, remember, after she won? Like, she really just hopped in his arms. And he was like, okay.
I don't remember that, but okay.
So this should be a good fight. One fight she had, she just did a cartwheel for no reason, and the other girl got pissed. Like, they're in the middle of a fight, she just does a cartwheel, and the other girl looks at her like, okay, like,
yeah, like, cool, what are we doing here?
So this should be this is the first fight on the card. I wish this was the last one, to be honest. This is going to be a fun fight. Hold on.
By the way, the world has been waiting for some.
I'm here with Joe Rogan.
Listen, first of all, congratulations on your first UFC.
Well, she seems incredibly stable.
You look very happy. You deserve it.
Watch this.
That girl's, I want to party with that girl. I'm not lying. That girl knows how to have a good time right there, I'll tell you. And also, I've been wanting someone who can bring stripping and the Bible together. So, finally.
Yeah, I might go to church.
Someone found a way to put those two words in the same sentence.
Oh, my God.
That wasn't one of condemnation. So, good for her.
Oh my God. I mean, how funny was that? I mean, Rogan, you can tell, was just like not about that though. So,
well, she's also probably a little sweaty. Yeah. Although I don't think they can. I'm always amazed that what's his name gets up there and puts his hands on their sweaty shoulders and shit. I'm like, ugh, I wouldn't want to touch him right now, but okay.
Yeah, no, he was just like, hold on, let me see if I can find the Cody back to China.
Can you find us a video of Jinyu Fry? Because she looks.
A picture of her?
Intense. See, no, like a video. What's, you know. Oh, has she got anything fun? Or?
She's very much.
Is there a picture of her doing math? She's building the rockets like this. And it's like the other girl's just jumping in Joe Rogan's arms. Like, okay.
Yeah, this is, hold on, let me see if I can find
you. I'll have to look up some of her fights. I want to see her fight. I mean, she looks intense from the UFC picture.
This is her.
Okay. Oh, yeah, she's intense. Look at this. Oh. You better watch out.
Yeah,
she's got them arms, bro. You can see it. Now, the other thing about these ladies is I feel like they're going to have very different styles. in the snap. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, this is, yeah, and then this is the other girl. Hold on. She's
yeah, there you go. Well, praise Jesus. I think that's what that brings to mind.
Yeah, and now here she is, like, I guess she's like teaching people also, like.
And there goes the poll. Where was that in the Bible? Thou shalt not have more than one person on the poll at a time.
Oh, God. This is, come on. All right. Well, Greg, where are you going to be? What do you got?
July 1st and 2nd, I will be at Stir Crazy Comedy Club in technically Glendale, Arizona, right outside of Phoenix. So anybody from the Phoenix area, be sure and get your tickets because those shows will sell out. And I've just been having murderously good shows. I've been really enjoying the process. I've just been improvising like crazy. It's really been a wild ride since I've gotten myself into a better place, so physically. So it's been a lot of fun, man. I've been having a really great time.
All right. Well, thank you, Greg. You're the best. I love you, man.
You too, brother. Oh, we'll talk soon.
If you want to come by the dine tomorrow night, let me know.
I will. I'll come by. Let's do it.
All right. Take care.